Welcome to Lack of Focus, an X-Wing miniatures game podcast brought to you by Dice 8 Productions. Hello, everyone, and welcome once again to another episode of Lack of Focus, episode 54, Star Wars Squadrons, a.k.a. Shut Up and Take My Money. I am your host, Ed Horn, and alongside me tonight, my partner in crime and gaming, one Mr. Chad Brown. Chad, how's it going, my friend?
Hey, everybody.
And, of course, our producer extraordinaire, one Mr. Chris Sheriff. Chris, how's it going?
Oh, good, thanks, Ed.
Good. We lost Sean tonight. Sean's having some plumbing issues, and apparently they need to be rectified immediately, so he will not be joining us for this evening.
Actual plumbing issues, not biological plumbing issues.
Yeah, like copper pipe and soldering issues.
Trying to piss stones out of his...
Right. I need to clarify that. That's a good point. All right, so in tonight's show, we obviously there's not a ton going on in the X-Wing world. We did talk about Solos last week, and there's not really been much going on, so there's not a ton to discuss in the news. The only thing that I can think of off the top of my head, only because I'm paying attention to 40K a lot now, Reese and the Frontline Gaming guys were talking about they're so far moving forward with things like the LVO and the SoCal Open, and I know in those events, X-Wing is still played, so we might... little sprinkle of salt, be looking at some areas of the U.S. that are going to be opening up and allowing larger events like that. I don't know that we're going to be returning to normal this year, though. And I'm kind of curious if, like, how far that's going to go. And again, I'm a data guy, for those who don't know, in my own personal life, and all the data that I'm seeing from this COVID-19 thing is that we're just moving hotspots from one place to the other. Big cities were the first to go, and now we're moving into other more rural areas, and our COVID curve doesn't stop. We are consistently at about 25,000 new cases recorded every single day for the last 45 days. So I don't know where do we go from there. There's no tournaments going on. We were talking in the pre-show, we're going to talk about doing a points show, and I'm kind of curious as to how FFG is going to handle points and adjustments when there's no meta to judge that off of. So I'm genuinely hoping that the meta kind of gets a little reset, and when things start returning to normal, we can move into what's good and what's not. But there's nothing going on. There's literally nothing X-Wing we can talk about. So we'll talk about what we've been doing in gaming. So Chad, I haven't heard a ton from you recently. So what have you been doing, my friend, lately?
I know. I mean, you know, I only live like about 20 minutes or so from you.
It's funny that you mentioned that. I had a conversation today with my wife, and I said, you know, now that we are in a green county and things are like Westmoreland County hasn't had a new case of COVID-19 for 6 weeks from the numbers that I've been looking at. So we're probably safe to probably have you over. So I don't know what you're doing, what your schedule looks like. We'll talk off show on, you know, when you're working, but we should probably get together sometime soon. Even if you want to come down here and play some StarCraft, that'd be a ton of fun.
That's doable.
Bring your laptop, Gabe and I can hop on and we'll just blow some shit up.
That works. What I've been doing, basically, I've been doing a lot of painting. Been buying a bunch of, like, you know, the little D&D stuff and all. I got me some Raptors. And for some reason, the store doesn't keep these with the other creatures because, like, it's got, like, a green stripe, which all the terrain and such has green stripes to it for some reason. All the creatures, like, don't. Got, like, I think it's a black stripe. So I don't know why. I saw these down there. I was looking at that kind of stuff. I did pick up some other cool things. I started... base coat all my own stuff. I got a Hydra. It's got removable heads. Yeah. So it's got like single heads and then like Y-shaped heads where it's got two to each neck. Really, and the other thing I purchased, which got me a gargantuan skeletal dragon.
Ooh.
I'm base coating that right now.
Ooh, so, I would have totally primed that gray and then washed over that with a black.
I actually have a color
like null oil,
I use
like
for bone.
I'm gonna do
it's like I can't remember what it's called off the top of my head, but it's like a little bit yellowish white.
Yeah,
it does
like
do some good bones. And then I put null oil on it to dirty it up.
You can do null oil or you can do sepia that will kind of give it a little bit more of a dirty yellow too, if you want to go that route.
Yeah, I mean, I got all kinds of different stuff here, paint wise and washes and all that kind of stuff. I've just been working on a lot of it.
You know what you could be buying? Chaos Space.
What could Marines. I be buying?
Chaos Space Marines.
You can get so much like Reaper and D&D minis for a price of a 40k kit, though.
I know.
I was at the game store. I saw they had a box of Chaos Space Marines and a box of Raptors, and they were both like around like $40 just for one box. I'm like, that's expensive. I pay like $5 for this.
GW has always been an expensive hobby. I'm not denying that. It's always been.
You know how much stuff
hobby.
I already have?
I know.
In London, sat down years ago. This was back when we were still playing. I took everything I had, figured out, okay, so if I were to buy this entire army that day, I went to the website, looked up all the prices. I had a couple thousand dollars worth of stuff. Logan has a couple thousand dollars worth of stuff.
I should totally do that. Because, like, so for example, we cleaned the garage out a few weeks ago, and Jacob opened up some of the boxes and wanted to know what was in it, and he found my box of Space Marine vehicles, where I have one of each variant of a Land Raider. I have, I don't know, 5 or 6 Rhino chassis in there that are unused and ready to, like, waiting to be painted. There's a Vindicator in there. There's 2 Predators in there. And he's like, Dad, how much money's in this box? And I'm like, I have no idea. He's like, they aren't even painted. I'm like, he's like, well, where's your Space Marine painted army? I'm like, oh, that one's over there. And there's more Rhino chassis and more Marines and more Terminators. And my quads are all in there. Like all kinds of stuff. If I should, just as an experiment, social experiment, just go through and actually find out how much money I've genuinely put into that. Cause it's god awful.
Me and Logan did that. We had thousands of dollars. And when you said he found one of your boxes, I was waiting for you to say dildos.
No. Why would I say that? Absolutely not. No, there is one thing I'd like you to adjust on the phrase that you said, which was when we were playing. I don't want to trample over your thing. I'll get back to that in a second. I'll let you finish what you've been up to lately, then I'll chime in on that.
Basically I've been doing that. I've been working on a couple other like little things here and there. I know whenever like certain stores started opening back up, like
thank God,
Joann's and Michael's, I went and bought a bunch of like wooden stuff. I bought some more wine glasses. I'm going to work on some stuff like that. Like I said, I've been doing D&D Pathfinder minis, paint your owns. I put on layaway Marvel Crisis Protocol. Put that
the
on layaway. Yes, they've had it for a little while now.
I did not know that
you actually went to the store.
I did. I physically went to the store. I physically walked into the game store and I put paint on a table and I paid cash for it, which was amazing because I haven't done that in a really long time. And then
You were there more than 5 minutes, talk and hang out for a little bit and that kind of stuff.
I had Jacob with me at the time and I was really nervous about being like still out in public, like probably a little bit too little TMI, but I do have, we have 4 kids, 2 of which are type 1 diabetics. Jacob has NF1. They all have compromised immune systems. If they end up with COVID-19, it could potentially be fatal. So I am still in that hyper protective, like Jake really just wanted to get the hell out of the house, which I don't disagree with. We went in with masks, came and got what we want, and we left. So if it were just me, it may have been a little bit different. I may have hung around, and now that we know that it's open, and they're still not doing play areas yet, are they?
They are.
Oh, they are? Okay, perfect.
Never. So when it was yellow, they were allowing people to come in, but there was no play going on.
Yeah, it was in the door and out the door.
It went to green. It was like about within a week after going to green, they're allowing like a few tables to go and play. I'm in the back now.
Okay.
So... because I stopped in there Tuesday, I want to say, and there was like 2 tables setting up to play 40K. Christian was there, a couple other guys looking to get some 40K. Yeah. And I basically went in. I wanted to put some money on that layaway because I got the core set for the Marvel game, which Marvel minis. I wanted to paint Marvel minis.
It's a nice one.
Yeah. And I put a Hulk on layaway also because he's like a separate thing from the core set.
Super
like
easy I saw to
the
too.
Yeah, it's like I've seen the Batman ones, but our store doesn't carry the Batman game, the minis.
Well, I hear that a friendly local game store up in Calgary may be putting all of the Batman stuff on like 50% off once some lazy ass employee finishes sorting it out in the system, so they're all 50% off. But who can say? By the time this episode airs, it's probably already happened.
You should get on that.
Yeah.
I take that back. I've actually been to the game store twice. Because they were out of Known Oil. They had the Known Oil gloss. They did not have the Known Oil matte when I went to do my paint purchase. So I had to go back and pick up Known Oil, which I will be putting to good use tomorrow night as I start the finishing touches on my terrain.
Well, I did pick up that new red wash, and it is the exact same as the old red wash.
Yeah, yeah.
I picked it up. I got it.
That I feel like I'm so far behind the times, but did you see that they have Blood for the Blood God? Which is basically a red wash with a gloss finish, which is meant to resemble like liquid blood. Oh, so nice. You've got it. Oh my God. As soon as I heard, like, I've been having so much fun catching back up on the GW hobby. Oh, we lost Chad.
It's moved me around. Is he going to come back?
I wonder if he comes back in the same spot.
Oh, I'll have to swap up and around. No. Okay. I can't move the windows around. There we go. As soon as you turn the camera back on, it fixed.
For some reason, when I sat down, like, everything just, like, went. Nah. And I was just like, what the heck was that?
The magic of editing could make that not happen, but it's not gonna.
We're just gonna leave it go. Okay, perfect. All right, so what I was saying is, like, I've been having a ton of fun just getting reintegrated into the GW hobby. And when I saw that, I'm like, that's fucking awesome. Like, they did a red wash so that it looks like dripping red blood. Like, it's got that glossy finish. It looks like it's fresh blood, like bleeding, oozing blood. It's awesome.
Reaching for this thing here.
Oh, so you just red washed that. That's awesome.
It's a fire elemental. But I actually did, like, a combo of what washes on him.
Oh, that's cool.
And, of course, he still has, which you can't really see because I don't have a light to shine from the back, but
he
actually is.
The model's translucent, and you just went over it with some washes. That's awesome.
That's like I have a process to make him actually come out, like you can kind of see how his colors look.
Yeah, no, I like that. I like
he's got, like, more of the fire.
Yeah, because it's not just red. There's, like, yellow in there as well.
Yeah, there's, like, a couple colors in there, so.
All right.
That's what I've been
up to?
Working.
New job, okay.
I'll do it.
It's just okay.
Yeah, it's Walmart.
It's work.
Basically.
All right, Chris, I'm gonna kick it over to you. What have you been up to lately, my friend?
I played a game of X-Wing.
Oh, in person,
a real life game of X-Wing in person
on the table with a human being.
Yeah, we had our masks on and everything, and played a game of X-Wing. It was awesome. I lost. Shouldn't be on a podcast, you know, all the usual stuff. No, it was good. I just threw some four ship rebels down because it was more to just be out of the house, to be honest, but push some rebels at people. I wanted to run Wedge again because why wouldn't I? And I just ran Wedge with just servos, so basically naked, and traded a crap load of damage in the first couple of rounds, got an early lead, but then just couldn't keep up the race. I should have disengaged after Wedge went down because I was ahead on points, but I'm like, I don't care.
I've never been there.
Like, we're playing a game for fun in the store. Like, why would I? Like, you know what I mean?
I've never been that guy.
I considered it for, like, I set my dials, which I didn't actually do because I forgot my dial. So I wrote down what maneuvers every ship was doing, which surprisingly really changes how you play. It's a lot harder to actually do if you, anyway, that's by the by. But yeah, I put my maneuver down and I was like, you know what? If I break off now, I could probably win this game. I was like, oh, on the other hand, if I just roll better, it'll be fine. But you know, my dice, I couldn't do it. So I get to play my dice for my loss now, which is every X-Wing player's dream.
I still use, to this day, the 2014 translucent dice, regardless of the fact that I know that statistically they are some of the worst dice rolling, and I still use them because, damn it, they're cool. So I don't. I genuinely should.
You whine about the dice on Vassal, though, Ed, so I'm done fucking listening to anything you have to say about dice.
Up, by the way. Anecdotal data for one game, but I have data to back that up. Thank you very much.
I'm not going to complain about those like nine rolls I made where I didn't damage myself or you.
Well, What's the best oxymoron I've ever heard? Like, up there with that nursery rhyme. One fine day in the middle of the night, two dead men got up to fight. Ed's got data from one vassal game.
Hey, don't you know the plural of anecdote is data? You didn't know that? The more anecdotal difference I've got, that equals data, right?
Oh, man.
No, the answer is no, by the way. That's not true.
So pause 1 second. Oh, okay, have we got time? Okay, it's okay. I don't have to tell you yet. It's fine. I was just quickly checking something on Neptune's Pride, whether I was going to tell you yet or not, but I don't have to tell you yet.
Are you sending an attack in my direction? You might as well at this point. I'm getting my ass kicked.
I click on people's portraits and scroll down and then look at the weapons, for example. So the battle that you think you're going to win, you're going to lose, but you just don't know it yet because you've not done your research.
Oh, the one that the where Purple's coming into my base. He's going towards what is that? Yeah, and once he takes that, like he's legitimately, he's got 84 ships away from my home planet. I've got 134 within a stone's throw there that I can intercept him, which is probably the only thing that's keeping me alive at this point.
So what you need to do is, so I can only see up at Bertia, but you need to pull that carrier out so you don't just waste it, but leave like all of the other ships there. So you do the, you basically eliminate that fleet as a threat. But yeah, I don't know. You seem to be in a relatively bad position. So
yeah, no kidding.
I'll send you weapons when I have it in another 20 hours. It's fine.
Well, it's not. You're still alive. I don't know how much good that's going to do me. I'm feeling you have a lot more to cover than just Neptune's Pride stuff. But if you want to touch on those before we get, because that's a rabbit hole in and of itself. I have two rabbit holes I'm going to go down.
I was literally just checking because I know that if I don't tell you by a specific point, it's too late for you to do anything about it anyway.
Yeah.
So I played X-Wing. I didn't get to play Warhammer Fantasy Roleplay on Sunday because one of the guys didn't turn up. So we didn't play.
We didn't get to play D&D this week either.
Yeah, I was going to stress it. So some other guy let me down on Monday.
It wasn't just me. Sean had to bail out too. All right, so look, I don't know how else to put this. Sometimes work sucks. And sometimes you have projects that are due. Sometimes they're super high stress and you have a ton of work you do and a ton of cleanup. I had to record 2 training videos that night that were due the next day. So I had to put
some time out. Let me do it.
Sometimes people tell a DM on a Sunday night, not a Monday morning. Yeah, so you don't have to spend a Sunday night, you know, just doing stuff.
I didn't know until Monday.
I mean, when your character dies now, I mean, it's not personal.
So long story short, this project that I'm doing is going to come to completion on July 1st. The rest of the stuff I have to do is a ton of training and getting UAT sign-offs and getting those off to the developers and getting all that taken care of. So luckily, I think I'm through the thick of it. I still have training tomorrow. I did training yesterday. I do training tomorrow. Like, I'm doing my entire organization. And because we're still under COVID-19 regulations, we can't have a ton of people in the room. So I'm doing a lot of this over Zoom. I didn't catch everyone the first time. So I had to do it again today in joint sessions. Then I've got to do it again for a specific department tomorrow. It's long and short of it, I have been extraordinarily busy with work in the last couple of weeks that I'm like, this is the reason why I'm drinking alcohol tonight as opposed to my normal Mountain Dew, because I needed to unwind a little. So yeah, indeed it happened. It should happen this Monday though.
It's all right. As long as you do your homework I set for you as well. That's fine.
I'm going to worry. You're going to regret that. I'm going to send you like a 4-page, I'm going to send you at least 4 pages.
That's fine. You might get inspiration if you send me more. You'd definitely be rolling with disadvantage if you send me less, though. So.
That's it. It's true.
Disadvantage against
available?
A vampire.
Was Gabe available?
I was going to ask. I felt like that would have been a little bit below the belt. You know, okay, you don't have to play, but is Gabe coming?
So the short answer to that question is he potentially could have been, but as this is the recording studio and I was recording these training videos on the good equipment as opposed to my crappy video capture software that our nonprofit has access to, no, I went with the good stuff that we had in this computer. So the other computer that he plays on is over here, so he would not have been available.
It's all right.
Put a screen up.
It's not the screen, it's the sound. Visually, I'm physically not on camera at any point in time in the videos that I trained on the recording. It's simply screenshots of me actually going through, here's how you do here. You click here. You click here. This is how you do this. This is how you make this action happen. It's just audio. So it was simply the fact that, like, if Gabe were having audio conversation in the background, it would have, I'd had to do like multiple takes, which I ended up doing anyway. Now, I thought I'd do it off the cuff whenever I first did it, and I should have wrote a fucking script. And by the time I got down to doing my training today, which is like the fifth time I've gone through this, I could do it in my sleep now. So I'm like, I should have recorded the training video after I've gotten so much practice at it. But oh well.
The best work we've done was scripted. I mean, all those awesome commercials and shit. We wrote scripts for that. I mean,
commercials for what?
Cryodex.
You should try Googling Cryodex, see what happens. See if you can download it.
I'm guessing no.
Well, that wouldn't be my news to announce, unfortunately.
It's looking.
Cryodex. Wait, what?
Oh, it's like it's just disappeared.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's some news for you. Didn't want to do Cryodex anymore.
So Chris just gave up. That's a shame. It probably doesn't.
You know what that means? Tome 1.
Yeah.
Tome is the best software currently available.
Because it's the only software currently available. It doesn't hurt. Oh, wow. Do I want to get into this one? Probably not. Because keeping in mind, I love Chris and I don't want to.
Number three.
Yeah, I don't want to disparage in any way, shape, or form, but he is currently relatively high up in the TO program to the point that he was at Worlds. So there may be, I don't know, just a minor conflict of interest in developing tournament software for the company that you're working for. There may have been a conflict. So that may be the reason why. I don't know. It's just
done with X-Wing from what I know. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So.
Oh, that's a shame. All right, Chris, do you have anything else you want to cover? I feel like we've gone down so many rabbit holes already.
I don't know. What else have I done? I finished my one lot of painting commissions, so that was good. I'm going to paint a model for Sean, I think. Then I've got to paint a lot of Plague Marines. And then, yeah, that's pretty much
so
it.
You haven't started the systems project yet, have you?
No, but it's still the Games Workshop are currently out of stock of normal sisters. So until we get more normal sisters. Up.
They were down for 2.5 months. They'll give them time.
No, I know. I'm a what. It'll get started.
I feel like I have three rabbit holes to go down. So the first one I want to go down.
Chat. So why is not a lot of petting zoos anymore?
Oh my God.
He likes to go down rabbit holes.
So I was trying to let it go, but apparently not. So no. Sentence you had said when we were talking about when we used to play, I think you need to change that sentence because I genuinely, and I know I've said this in the past, I think I'm all in on 9th edition 40K. And let me explain why. So no, it has nothing to do with that, Chad.
Do I have to dig up Heresy cast artwork again? And like,
You might. So let's go back. Let's rewind the clock. I don't know when Chad and I are in high school and we kind of started a little minor interest in.
Did they even have clocks back then?
Yeah, they did. Ooh, yeah, and covered wagons. But I mean, they invented the clock like in the 1700s. So yeah, they had those back then. If you rewind the clocks a little bit, Chad and I sort of got semi-interested in 40K around 3rd edition. Chad stuck in with it for a lot longer than I did, mostly because he loved painting the models. That is, so like I got interested in it, you know, got married, had kids, kind of set it down, walked away from it, but Chad did not. And then I remember distinctly him coming over to my house one time saying, hey, check out this cool model I painted. And I was like, oh, let's kind of look into this game. And we did a little bit of paper 40K for a little bit, Chad, if you remember those days. Oh
my God, the paper Necrons.
The paper Necrons? I found one of those.
Paper Necrons with pennies taped in the base.
Yeah, because they stayed up, because I wanted to try the game out. And I found one of those the other day, by the way. But long story short, so we really started ramping up into 4th edition and then played very heavily into 5th edition. And we played some 6th. We went to the Philadelphia Open out in whenever it was 6th edition. I think I skipped 7th. I got interested in 8th, but began to see some of the flaws that I didn't like in 8th, which apparently stayed through the entire edition, and now we're up to 9th. But of all the editions of 40K that I did play, 5th edition by far was my favorite because that was the traditional, in my mind, what 40K should have been. I have one codex. I bring one army. I have one force organization chart. That's how I play that. sure, there were problems in 5th edition. I'm not going to lie. Wound allocation was a joke. You had Leaf Borrow Guard, and you had Grey Knights, and you had Knob Bikers, and you had, you know, Grey Hunter and Long Fang spam and MSU. So, sure, there were some issues with balance in 5th edition, but overall, that was what, in my mind, what traditionally 40K should have been. One army, one codex, one force organization chart. Starting in 6th, they started adding allies, and the problem got progressively worse, in my opinion, all the way through 8th, to the point where you get soup in 8th, where I'm like, I'm going to take this Imperial unit, and that one, and that one, and that one, and now it's an unkillable block. Good luck in trying to kill it. Or you had something like possess bombs that were -4 to hit, and nobody could shoot them. Like, just ridiculous crap in the game, because of all of the intermingling of special rules from different codices. 9th edition sounds like they're doing away with all of that. And I've been listening to a lot of 40K podcasts, and I've been listening to a lot of the playtesters talk about the game, and I keep hearing the same phrase over and over and over again. It's a lot like 5th, where you only bring one codex because you actually get punished for taking detachments from other codices. It's only going to be running one detachment because you get punished for taking additional detachments, so you're not getting 24 heavy slots or stuff like that. So that in and of itself, returning the game to I play Space Wolves, and I'm bringing a Space Wolves army, and I'm working off of one force organization chart. This is the game that I wanted to play. It's removing, I mean, you can still ally if you want. You're going to pay for it. And it's removing a lot of the things that I didn't like. They're even bringing they're bumping the points up, which was an interesting balancing act that they did with 8th edition, where they started to help get the weaker units in the game more into the game. They just kept lowering points and lowering points and lowering points. So a game at the beginning of 8th edition, a Space Marine army at the beginning of 8th edition, for 2,000 points would have probably only filled 1,500 points by the end of 8th edition. And they're completely flipping that on the head. And the reason why people did what they did was try to get all these command points, and now everybody gets the same amount of command points. So now you don't need to take all these multiple detachments. So just in the stuff I've heard on the alterations to the game has me hooked, because that's the game that I want to play. I want to play against one army. I don't want to worry about all of this other crap that was going on here. It just didn't feel. I still have Primaris issues. I think that's also the reason why they're coming up with a whole new series of fluff that goes beyond. My main problem, of course, Primaris and Marines is like everything you read from the Horus Heresy up is Astartes. Astartes are these amazing super soldiers. And now you've got these Primaris Marines and all of them are better. What?
Amazing super soldiers. Easy. Done.
Well, because I genuinely feel like they're trying to do, because I remember whenever Primaris Marines were first released, everyone's like, oh, well, these are just what true scale Marines are. Well, fine. Then just call them Astartes and switch the whole line. And I get why they did what they did, because they would have pissed off so many people that have been collecting 40K forever. That's like, so now my Space Marines that were this tall are now this tall, and I need to go
the obliterators.
Yes.
Do you want me to like burst your bubble and give you a horrible reality check, Ed?
Sure, go ahead.
So it's going to be twofold. Like, one, you're just old, man. It's okay. You like what you like. It doesn't matter. You're not going to see how cool stuff is because it's different.
Keep and off changing. My grass!
Yeah.
I didn't say that I didn't like it.
It's okay. You can comment. It's fine.
The story just doesn't make any sense to me.
But it does. You just don't want it to. Like, it's fine. Like, they told them
3 hours on why.
Rabute said, don't do anything with these people until I tell you to, and then died. But Mechanicum, being the Mechanicum, didn't do anything until Rabute told him to. So
because he had this, you know,
makes perfect sense. Life
just in case. And this one guy that, you know, wasn't the Emperor, but somehow managed to not only do the same thing the Emperor did with Astartes, but improved it and made it better.
Standing on the shoulder of
giants. I'm not going to get... So, yeah, I don't want to get sucked out of the minutia.
The second part of it would be that all of the new stuff you read, did it involve the game only taking 45 minutes to play now on a 3x3 table?
No, but they did.
So you're not going to play it then, it's fine. Because you're an adult with a family. You're not going to play a 4-hour game in a game store. I hate to be the person to break this to you, but unlucky, you're going to buy all of the stuff. Go and play maybe 2 games in the lifespan of 9th edition, and then 10th will come out, and then you'll hate that. So you'll walk away for a little bit again, and 11th will come out, and it'll change just enough that you'll have been away just long enough to be nostalgic and go like, man, 40K. And like, Maybe by that time the kids will have all moved out and you'll have more free time. But then you'll not get to play because you're just a creepy old man hanging around a game store trying to play with 15-year-old kids. So, like, I don't know what to tell you.
You're crushing my dreams, man. You're crushing my dreams.
Already the creepy old man trying to play with 15-year-old kids at the game store.
But
crushing my dreams, homie. What are you doing to me? Look at this.
There's nothing wrong with like wanting to enjoy your hobby, but don't lie to yourself and say you're going to start playing 40K because it still takes 4 hours to set up a table, deploy your army, play the game, and pack up.
Well, they are, according to everything that I've read, they have the suggested play times down to 2.5 hours because of the points increase.
Yeah,
and they have shortened the play.
So you know, the play area. You know that in the UK they play like 1500 point games, but you Americans are fucking morons and can't do that. Like, because you need that one extra toy to feel like you've got more weapons than everyone else. You know, if you're not trying to develop a space force, you're just doing it wrong.
Right? Absolutely. Yeah.
I could play lesser games. I've played 500 point games with people before, and we've helped get people into the game playing 500 point games. And of course, I'm getting ready to play, and Ed turns to me and says, no, you can't run that.
Okay, because you're not helping. You're not helping when you... What was the list that you brought at 500 points? It was
kind of betrayed, yeah.
Five-man Chaos Space Marines, a Land Raider.
Oh, that's what it was. That's what it was. Yeah, I'm going to bring a Land Raider in 5th edition where they're basically unkillable.
In a 500-point game?
Everyone likes having fun in their hobby. It just so happens that Chad's hobby is winning. It's fine.
Winning can be a hobby, right? My long story.
And when you play Chaos Space Marines, winning's not something that comes easy because they screw you over every codex.
Oh, yeah, wait. Oh, I've got a good codex? Oh, you're going to change the edition to make my codex suck again. He's not wrong. He is not wrong. They have done that to Chaos. They had one good codex in 3rd edition, and then when 4th rolled over, they gave a new one, and they have sucked ever since.
Do you want me to tell you what you should do?
We're nerfing them.
Yep.
You should play Kill Team. You should embrace the fact that you're an old man and just play Kill Team.
I've got so many models that I want to put back on the table, especially, and that's been like, so mostly what I've been doing is.
Do you though?
I really do.
We'll see.
So here's the fun fact. What he's not telling you is he has a Space Marine army and a Space Wolves army. They are the same army.
Hey,
he came up with a pain scheme that's basically
right before the battle. It makes perfect sense.
So, I mean, Space Wolf players are all losers anyway, so it's fine.
Ooh.
Why would you choose to be a heretical legion when you could just be a first legion?
Understood. Traitors.
Yeah, well. So, what's your second tangent, Ed?
Let me finish one little point on that one. So the main reason, of course, that I've been doing, of course, is because I've been doing a ton of paint. I've been doing painting. I've actually been applying paint to GW plastic, which includes
it took 10 or so years.
Yeah, which included using a wet palette for the first time, which I was a little wary about doing. I'm currently painting the Sky Shield landing pad, which is basically the size of a dinner plate, and it needs a lot of paint to cover it. So I'm like, well, normally what I would do is I just pop the lid on the pot and pull this out and maybe add a little drop of water. Like I used to do it that way. And I'm like, that's not going to work. The whole thing's going to dry out in the time frame. It took me 2 hours to paint it whenever I was doing the other night. So I started reading up on wet palettes and now I'm like, what the hell have I been doing with my life? Like, how have I not known that this was a thing? And it's something so cheap and easy to put together that I could just put dollops of paint on this wet palette and it just stays wet the entire time. I checked it before I came down. There's 2 drops of paint that I left on there intentionally. They're still wet. They didn't dry out.
Because you didn't paint before.
Far away are you from the ocean?
Or much of a painter either.
Pretty far away. Central or Western PA is pretty far away from an ocean.
Because a wet palette's fine in Alberta, but it doesn't I couldn't leave stuff for more than an overnight. In the UK, I could have stuff on my wet palette for a week. And it would still be good. But here, I can't do. Like, overnight, you might get away with it.
I checked it before I came down here. It was still wet. But like I said, I'd used the cheapy way. Like, I went and got, like, the plastic container you get Chinese food in and took the lid off. And I put paper towels and some parchment paper and some water. And then I put the lid back on. So, like, it's all sealed. It's completely a sealed system. So it seems to be working just fine. Long story short, I had a ton of fun. Do the same thing that I used to do back in the day. Tossed on some Star Trek DS9, something that I can listen to and not necessarily have to watch. Getting paint down on the... It was... I've already gone through my TNG thing, so now I'm going chronologically.
You're watching the best Trek. It's fine.
Oh my God, absolutely. Of all the series, I would have to agree from story-wise, absolutely. I still have a spot in my heart for TNG, but absolutely the story is so much better in DS9.
Do you know why?
Because
Sisko doesn't commit mass genocide like Janeway does, that's why. Borg lives matter, people.
Or doesn't evacuate native people from a world because, you know, reasons.
Have you watched Picard yet? Obviously, we can't spoil it for people, but...
I prefer not to spoil it. I watched the first few episodes. I haven't finished it.
I would advise finishing it.
Okay.
And then we can do it in focus.
I wanted that show to grab me. The problem is I had two dull episodes in a row that just weren't very interesting.
There's some filler. It takes a bit of time. I imagine I know which bit you're talking about. But yeah, we'll talk about that.
My intention is to go back to it. So
yeah.
So second rabbit hole. Chris got us addicted to a new game, and I think he may have mentioned it on the show before, but we've been playing Neptune's Pride this past week. It is a space galactic conquest game. It's one of those games that things take several hours to come to fruition. So if you send a fleet from one place to the other, that's like, okay, that's in 8 hours, it's going to get there. This has been a fascinating game. This genuinely reminds... I've got it up on my screen on the other window over here just because I'm paying attention to stuff. This
not listening to you, and I'm in fact playing Neptune's Pride right now.
Genuinely reminds me of a game that I used to play on PC called Pax Imperium 2, which was an amazing space combat game.
I remember that
very
game.
Similar. This is a little bit slower because of the time frame. If I have one complaint... Because everything else is fantastic on this game. Each world, you can build up economy. You can build your industry up so that you're building ships on those worlds. You can build your science up so that you're researching things faster. I totally get the entire concepts behind it. The only thing that I don't like is I can't intercept fleets. I can only send ships from planet to planet. So, for example, if there is a fleet on its way to one of my planets, I can't intercept that. That's the only thing that doesn't make sense to me. I wish that I could say, hey, that's 68 ships that are going to my planet. I'm going to move... and intercept them before they get there.
You so understand they're traveling through hyperspace.
Yeah.
How are you going to intercept something traveling that fast?
I get that. I understand.
What he means by he doesn't like it, it means I'm losing because I'm bad at having ships positioned to defend my planets when I need them there. I'm always one step behind. Well, that's just because it's your first game. It's fun.
Yeah, when I get backstabbed by the guy that I had a diplomacy thing set up with early in the game, first day, he and I recognized...
That'll teach you for not allying with me sooner.
I know.
Should have reached out and be like...
I should have just gone through and like completely annihilated your kingdom, which I probably should have done.
Oh, yeah, of course you should. Like, 100%. I'm probably not going to stab you in the back this game, probably. Mainly because
I love the way he says that too. He said the same thing in chat. Probably not going to do that.
I don't think I need to. Two, I don't think I'm going to win.
Purple's going to take care of me. Because he caught me with my pants down, and because of the reaction speed and how long it takes for things to go, by the time I was able to react to what he was doing, I'd already lost. So now it's just playing the waiting game. Like I'm just trying to slow him down. So that I don't embarrass myself. I just want to last longer than yellow at this point.
And by purple, you mean pink.
That's what I meant to say. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Pink.
Because my money is on purple, I think. Mainly because I've sheltered them from everything and been relatively peaceful. And he's just been chipping away at the AIs from Sean. And Chad's empire's been abandoned. So correct. It's just been building up ships. So.
Yeah, that was a fun thing we found out. If you're inactive for, was it like 2 days, you get booted and an AI takes over. I was unaware that the game had started, and I'm sitting there and I'm waiting. I let a couple days go by. I go back to check, and it's like, oh, the AI's already taken over my army.
That's okay.
We'll just start another game once Ed gets knocked out, because you can have multiple games running at the same time.
I have been fighting the urge to join another game because I've already seen the flaws in my tactics and what I did. Because what I did, just for sure, the premise behind the game, if you've never played it, there's 162 stars in a galaxy, and the objective is
to... In this galaxy, 161, and you need 81 of them.
Correct. Your objective is to control more than half of the galaxy. If you control 81 worlds in the game, you win. Then the game ends. So I started off with an early expansion strategy where I was at one point in time sitting atop of the leaderboard with the most stars and my economy was going. And I didn't invest enough in defense and anticipating that I was going to get attacked. Because keeping in mind, I'm in literally in the middle of the map. So I can, from my kingdom, I can send ships into my west to touch one opponent, north to hit Chris, northeast to hit another player, and east to hit another player. I'm literally in the middle of five other people. And when you make yourself the biggest target on the board, you get attacked. When your two opponents to your east and northeast join forces to annihilate your front line, which is what they did. And I've been spending the rest of the time just playing attempt to slow them down. Like, I can't see paths of victory at this juncture, because if I send a fleet over here, they can send a fleet over here. And the only way that I could see it working is like what Chris and I talked about off of this on the game chats, is that you would need like a big hammer force, like a good 250, 300 ships to just start going world to world to world and just annihilate their industry and their economy. That's how you win.
Nope. You obviously didn't pay attention to what Chris said before the game ever even started.
Which was?
He said the player who is in the middle of the board is usually screwed over and will lose.
Yep. Well, that was me.
Not me.
Yeah. Yeah, no, because Chris is basically due north of me. He's got the same problem. He's got opponents all around him. So my point...
The problem you have when you're in the middle is you can't concentrate all of your forces in one direction. If you strip the defenses from your left-hand side to push right, the person on the left just goes, oh, okay, cheers, easy, and mosey on through your space.
Yeah, that was the best-case scenario for me, is that I beat back Pink's line into his starting into his territory, and then Orange betrays me and comes in from the rear.
Yeah. I think, and it's all Patreons, I think, and listen. No, I think we grabbed a couple of normal listeners as well, but yeah. We're posted up in the Patreon on the Discord, and people can join in on the games that way. We're all passworded, so we don't get any rando people in there.
Yeah, so the funny part is, with the exception of
Chris,
those
randos,
I think all the other people have never played this game before. And I want to make sure I go back through that. I think all of the people here are brand new to the game, have never played it, or they're playing on brand new accounts.
Yeah. So, I was a little bit worried that yellow might have been a second account, because if you join a random game, you can end up with one person who have two accounts, and if they get spawned next to each other, they just have a sacrificial empire.
Oh, that's dirty.
It's horrible to play, but it's relatively easy to spot. But I don't think we have that problem.
No, I don't think we do either, because I think Pink is just left yellow to his own devices. My point being is I've really been struggling trying to fight off the urge to join another game while this one's going on, since I basically know this one's over. So what ends up happening is your level of interest starts dropping. It's like, okay, I'm losing the game. I'm trying to click buttons to make things, you know, try to make it a more difficult fight, but I know I'm going to lose, kind of thing. But
you've
now
just you've got to change your role in the game. You stop trying to win, and you want to become a kingmaker. So you now want to, if you think you're honestly out of a game, you want to collapse, pull all of your ships out from your front line, have a more solid core that's harder to take over, and then you just make it not worth bothering you. And then you can like sally out and harass people's supply lines and send out the occasional terror fleet to annoy people and kind of just play the role of kingmaker.
Yeah, break down to my core worlds, which is almost basically what I've done, because with the removal of the one fleet that you just advised me to move, I'm basically down to like 10 worlds I could legitimately protect, and the rest of them are just good luck, fellas. Like, none of my fleets are moving. They're all just sitting there waiting to react.
I'm all going to laugh at you.
Yep. And it's fine. Like, it was a good learning experience. I figured out where I made my mistakes, where I went wrong. I don't know how I know how I would do it differently the next time around.
Talking just about in the game, right? You've made lots of mistakes you haven't realized yet.
Oh, I'm never going to make up for all my mistakes, ever. The best you can do is forgive yourself and move on.
I think it was a relatively decent map as well. There's a couple of good chokeholds that you didn't hold and stuff like that, just through lack of understanding of the map, I think.
I don't think it was understood. The one that blew me, that threw me off was the jump range. Because there were places where I didn't think pink, that anybody could get to, that pink was able to get to. And when I looked into him, like, oh, his hyperspace is more than mine. That's the reason why he's able to do that. And that was the concept I didn't wrap around my head the first time around. I'm not going to make those same mistakes the second time around.
Yeah.
But yeah, now you've got me hooked. Thanks, by the way. And then I even tried having fun with this one. I was doing like these diplomatic letters. I created a character and it.
I have to reply on my phone, Ed, because I'm looking after Evie. Come on. If I was at a computer, I would be in for a role play and it would be fine. But when I'm on the phone, it's just like, just do this.
Because I sent some like really lengthy letters, which are basically like, if you don't attack me, I won't attack you. Please don't go here. Like that kind of, like those could have been summed up in like three sentences. And I made like these long, like very role-play things. I've stopped doing that because at this point, like the only people I was interacting with are the people who ended up betraying me and attacking me.
Except while they're betraying you and attacking you, you're sending them big like novels.
So the first message I sent out was to Yellow, and it was titled "Don't Fuck Me," because it was that's where I assumed my weakness was going to come, was if Yellow pushed too aggressively, and he did, and he tried, but I held him back. Luckily, I think, and then it's a race to those choke points in the map. Whoever gets there first has the advantage, because you can see the fleets coming in, and then you just move to protect it. And all of your, because you push their vision back, you can stage stuff that they can't see. So they'll launch an attack on something that looks weak, when really you've got a fleet that will arrive before theirs to reinforce it.
Yeah.
So
I've learned those lessons. The next official game, for lack of focus, I will be more prepared. That's the only way you learn how to play a game. Like, I wasn't anticipating winning this game. I just wasn't anticipating doing as poorly as I did. I do think, and I mentioned this to your Chad, you're here, I can actually say this, I think the game would have gone differently if Chad and Sean hadn't gotten bumped out as early as they did due to
inactivity. I could have betrayed you.
Chad's still going strong with 7 stars in his system, in his empire. Sean's nearly gone because I decided I wasn't going to wait for Purple to finish it, and that helped him out.
My thought process, Chad, would have been that you would have gone in to attack Yellow because Yellow was infringing on you early, or Orange, and then we could have reached a pinch point in the middle and taken him out. That was my original thought process. But when I saw that you got kicked out, I was like, oh crap. Well, there goes that plan. So then Orange basically just took over that entire section, except for you. He and Purple, I think, are fighting amongst themselves. And then Pink and Yellow, like, it's been four days.
You know,
just
continuous. You know what would be a really, really dick move to do?
Hmm.
If when like Orange and Purple were fighting the AI, if you just trade them weapons for no reason, like you just send it to the AI and then the AI shares it amongst itself. And then you're like, damn. Be a real shame if you guys had to spend more ships than you needed to take those planets.
Oh, that would be a dick move, wouldn't it?
That's hilarious.
Wait, where is the computer at? Oh, the computer's already out.
He's going to do it now.
I can't. Yeah. I can set it terraforming.
I wonder how the computer got to weapons 4.
Oh, you dick.
Don't know what you're talking about. I mean, I could neither confirm nor deny that trading to Chad's corpse went on.
Well, I mean, it was interesting to me was to watch how other players dedicated their research. So some of them dedicated their research specifically in weapons. Some of them dedicated specifically to industry. And I can see those both. I went down the economy route thinking that I would have enough money to be able to build up my sciences to be able to catch up. And I think that's the wrong direction.
You want, generally from memory, you want it to be like 15, 10, 5, like 15 economy, 10 industry, 5 science. And you keep those ratios growing if you want the perfect game. Because I was relatively sure I would have a couple of rounds, I took a really, really greedy start and spent all of my opening money on science, trying to get a head start. Because if you can get experimentation in the first tick, you can look into all of the other stuff So it gives you a deep, like, just a good platform to build from.
Interesting. I'm gonna have
but
to
it's remember a, it's thing. A stupidly greedy start that I don't think you should do in a real game.
No, I'm,
I know
I'm thinking
before I got that. Kicked, I did set up a lot of my stuff. Like, okay, so as soon as the game starts, it's going to start researching this for me and doing that for me and doing this and that. And I set it all up. Then I let it go a few days and I forgot about it. And then by the time I came back, I was already booted. And I was just like, fuck.
So that's Neptune's Pride. We could probably do an entire show on it the next time we go through this. So it does take time. It is something that I constantly find like, ooh, I'm on my lunch break. I'm going to check here. Ooh, I'm in between meetings. Let me see real quick. Okay, cool. Like, I'm... The one thing that bothers me, like, damn it, I've got to sleep. That's 8 hours of time.
Nobody
wants to do that. If I send fleets at 2 o'clock in the morning, they're not going to know for.
There it is. There it is. Yep. The big gameplay. Setting your alarm for 4 a.m. so you can wake up and send the surprise fleet.
Exactly.
The worst one is because the game starts the moment the last person joins. That's when the timer starts. So if you're in a random game and the last person to join is in Russia, it's just a nightmare because you end up sitting for like 5 hours where you've got all of your money from the day ticking over that you're not spending. So you're missing out on 5 hours worth of industry because the ships are built every hour. So you're just behind. So like, if that happens, you might as well just abandon the game because it's not. I don't mind if I miss like an hour or two, and sometimes I'll like delay it if I'm getting close to getting terraforming or something like that. But it just sucks if you're massively out of sync with the game on your time scale.
Yeah, or you get stuck in meetings for 4 hours and you're like, oh crap, I haven't spent any of my money yet. I'm losing industry right now. So long story short, this has been my new obsession for this past week. Thank you, Chris, for this. I'm probably going to continue to play this game for a while because it is, admittedly, it's a ton of fun. It scratches the itch for me for strategic gameplay. I see the strategies. I'm disappointed in my first showing, but now I've learned from this and I will be looking forward to my next game.
I know. The map as well does get bigger. You can run bigger games.
I heard you can do dark games too.
Yeah.
Like, there are games where you don't know where everybody is.
Yeah.
Or where the checkpoints are.
I set this up to just be 100% just like easy, where you get to see everything. You can trade with everyone on the map. So it's very much an intro to a game.
Well, it was a good intro.
It's got a very common theme, don't you, Ed?
What's that?
Your common theme of a very disappointing first showing?
Maybe.
Like going back to 40K, there was that tournament you went to.
Oh, for God's sakes, I knew you were going to bring that up. I learned early on what the concept of a speed bump was in 5th edition, which was a unit that you put in front of an assaulting unit so that they go and kill it, and then they're standing in front of your shooting unit the next phase. And then I attacked with my speed bump instead. It died, because orc boys are awful in 5th, I mean, like, awful to fight against in 5th edition.
Orc boys versus scarabs.
Yeah, and then they annihilated the rest of my army. Yeah, I remember that lesson very well. Thank you very much.
He did not get the phase out. His army was eliminated before he could phase out.
Oh, God, yeah. That was those rules for that 4th edition book.
That was Logan's first tournament game ever.
Yep. If you were under 25% with Necrons and you got up under 25%, your entire army just disappeared off the board. But they got back up sometimes. They did have reanimation protocols. They still do. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So the third and final rabbit hole I think we go down is the namesake of the episode. EA has done something that I have been griping about and complaining about and saying, oh, God, I wish they would do this.
Get off your lawn.
5 years? 6 years?
My lord!
EA is going to release Star Wars Squadrons. October 2nd is the release date. It's releasing for PC, Xbox One, and PS4. They are going to cross-platform all of those. I was concerned originally whenever I saw the release date, because like, ooh, well, that's super close to the release date for the PS5. Am I going to miss out? Yeah, well, the question is, like, so do I want to wait and get the PS5 version because I've got a brand new 4K TV upstairs and I want to see it in 4K, I suppose, but they're not releasing it.
Imagine playing it on PS5 but not playing it with a VR headset.
Right. Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, ho, ho. You can do that because it is designed for that. But it is the game that I have wanted them to make. It is strictly space combat. It is got a single player campaign where you play both as the Rebel and the Imperial sides. You run missions. You do all of the things that, like, it's very X-Wing versus TIE Fighter-esque. Go here, blow up this facility, fight these guys. Exactly what I wanted. The only, all right, so Star Wars Battlefront 1 and 2, I've loved both of those games. They were both really good. The only thing I loved about them was the dogfighting. I am horrible at first-person shooters on a console. The pew pew roar roar shooting of ships, that is absolutely the only reason why I've ever purchased either one of those games, and they are amazing. They're beautiful, and I love playing them. And now I've got a complete game dedicated to it. And then they released today, the day that we're recording this, the gameplay reveals and the game mode. So they talk about the single player campaign, which is going to be amazing. I can't wait to do that. But the multiplayer ones sound even better. So you have a dogfighting one, which is 5-on-5. You can go with 4 AI pilots, or you can have 4 of your friends join you, and it's 5-on-5. So it's not the same furball that you were doing in Battlefront 2 and Battlefront 1, where it's 50 just ships versus 4 50 friends ships. Now. Yeah, or at least that have PS4s or compatible hardware that can all join me, Chris.
Oh, we'll get there. We'll get there.
So you have the 5-on-5, which is the dogfighting section. They also have the fleet battle, which is going up, which is almost like a mini campaign where there's a dogfighting section, and then there's eliminating some capital ships, and then there's an eliminating the flagship after that. And that just sounds amazing. And they've got this whole upgrade system where you can upgrade your ships and new paint schemes and new weapons and new buildouts. All of the little buttons that click to me and says, this is a space fight simulator game that I want to play, they have ticked off already. And I've only seen 5 minutes of gameplay of it. 5 minutes and 38 seconds of gameplay. I'm in. Shut up and take my money. Don't loot box the shit out of the game, EA. Fight the urge. Don't put any of those stupid, hey, you want this cool upgrade, you got to spend money on the game.
Everything is unlocked through gameplay.
Good.
Yeah.
Because they've learned their lesson, because they killed a great game. Battlefront 2 could have been an awesome game, but what killed it was and I know they removed it later in this big patch and they pulled it all out, but that's what killed Battlefront 2. There was nothing wrong with the game. It was the loot box system that they put in the game, just because EA's greedy bastards, the dark side users that they are, and they ruined their own game with the loot box system. So
Did you also catch the fact that you're not going to be able to do the team stuff and all that until after you finish the storyline?
Uh-huh. Yeah, because you have to have played in every ship and stuff, which is good. It reminds me like League of Legends has a similar kind of thing where you can't play ranked until you've played up to a certain level, because you don't want people ruining the game by not knowing what they're doing for other people. So if there's a minimal level of competency you have to achieve, I mean, it's going to be relatively low, let's be honest.
I'm just curious as to how many hours of gameplay the single-player campaign is. Because there is, it's like the single-player campaign in Battlefront 2. It's like, what, 4 hours? Maybe?
I don't know. I played it for like 3 hours and I'm still like on Endor or whatever because I'm terrible. But whatever.
Like he was saying, it's 8 different ships you have to be able to play through, so... Yeah.
Correct. So you've got your fighters, you've got the TIE fighters versus X-Wings, your interceptors, your A-Wings and the TIE interceptors, your bombers, and then they have the utility one, which is the U-Wing and the Scarif.
Reaper.
The Reaper. Thank you. Yeah, I meant to say that. You're right. So nothing new, no new ships that are coming out of this. And the interesting part too is the time frame that they've placed this directly after the Battle of Endor. So it's exactly the way that it should have been. Like the destruction of the Death Star 2 didn't end the Empire. There's still a whole shit ton of fleets that are floating out there that are still fighting the new Republic. So it's going to be an interesting era to play. It's right around, interestingly enough, the same time frame that The Mandalorian's going on too. So I am kind of curious if Disney, because technically with the new Disney canon, everything that comes out is canon. So the comic books are canon, the movies are canon, the TV shows are canon, and the video games are canon. So all the characters you're going to play are canon Star Wars characters. So that does put you in that same time frame as The Mandalorian. So maybe we'll see, hey, look, there's Baby Yoda.
It's more along the lines of, Yeah,
I saw Hera. Absolutely. I was going to save that for the end, but yes, I absolutely saw Hera.
But it's also going to have the knock-on thing of FFG, when are you going to give me these pilots that I play as?
Yeah, that, and if we can wrap any of this conversation at all today into X-Wing conversation, that's going to be it. All of those pilots that are going to be in there are going to be pilots that we're going to want to see in X-Wing. You also have the ability to customize your squad, which is also going to, I mean, there's so much, there's so many things in that 5-minute trailer that it's legitimately, it's that meme that you see in the internet with Fry from Futurama, just shut up and take my money. Cause I now want this game. I want it right now.
And you know that what the other thing I've not seen the documentation myself, but what I'm hearing from the other guys is that obviously it's like a $40 game as well. It's not a $70 AAA title. It's a $40 title.
Well, and the reason for it, so there is a distinct reason why Battlefront 2 feels like two, or Battlefront and Battlefront 2 feel like two games. You have the first-person shooter game, and then you have the space combat game, because they were developed by two different studios. Two subsidiary studios of EA developed two different games, the first-person shooter and the DICE did the space combat one. So that's half a game. Like, legitimately, that's the reason why it should be $40, because it's only half a game of what Battlefront would have been. I'm totally on board with it. Not to mention the fact that it's a late release for the PS4. I mean, you've got to figure, what, a month and a half later, the PS5 is going to release?
Come on, it's a PC release, if we're honest. You know, PC gaming master race.
Oh, yeah. I get it. Whichever game, whichever one you want to play catch up on first, new console every 7 years or keeping your computer upgraded. I'm going to end up getting it on PS5 or on the PS4. Simply because I prefer my flight sims on consoles. Because then I'd have to go out and get a whole flight stick and I have to do the whole thing. Because, yeah.
I was trying to buy it with.
I have an Xbox controller here. Could I do it on PC? Sure. I don't know. They're cross platform. It doesn't matter what console you buy it for.
Yeah. Anymore. Yeah. But that's a good thing. I believe you can play with people on console, on the PC, on this one. I don't know exactly, I can't remember. But I know there's like more and more stuff is doing that with the servers, like cross-platform servers. So
yeah, like the days of those, I can only play on the PlayStation Network, I can't play with people playing Xbox, even though we're playing the same stupid game. Fortnite did that. Fortnite went, yeah, no, we're not going to do that. And PlayStation went, okay. Because it was never Microsoft. Microsoft was never the problem. It was always Sony that was like, nope, we don't want to do it. And it just never made any sense.
The physical servers
are all in the same goddamn building.
So first-person shooters, this is a tangent, but first-person shooters should never allow you to play console gamers against PC gamers.
All right. My son would completely agree with you. Because first-person shooters on a PC, you have a huge advantage.
Yep.
Which is why I suck at first-person shooters on a.
Just suck at first-person shooters in general.
No, there's literally
no reason why you would ever want to put yourself through that as a console gamer. The refresh rates, everything about that is, I don't want to win this matchup. Please just kill me. I bow down before your PC gaming superiority.
Well, when they have to put aim assist on consoles just to let them catch up, to remotely feign some semblance of skill in a first-person shooter as opposed to PC gamers, that should tell you something.
Hey ho. The one
flight simulator is totally different. I go the complete opposite on that one. I would rather play a flight simulator on a PlayStation than I would a PC.
I want to say, so but because of COVID, I haven't been going out and doing as much stuff. So I have my like Chris and Evie's entertainment fund that I put like $100 a month in from my paycheck. And that pays for, like, if we go to a zoo, buying ice creams and stuff like that. And I've saved up like $250 because I've just not been able to go anywhere. And I'm like, if I do it, I'm going to get VR, aren't I? So
then you get a VR headset.
Yeah. So I need
to
find.
How much is running now?
Too much. But that's the only way I can do it is basically when we go somewhere, like I make a sandwich for me, and then Evie gets to have an ice cream or whatever. I stop spending Chris and Evie's entertainment fund on Chris and Evie eating out, and it's fine.
That's okay. Like my Sisters of Battle Army money. Where do you think that came from? Oh, that's all the hobby money. Like I stopped going to the retro game store. So I stopped buying retro games because I couldn't go. I stopped buying Magic cards because I couldn't go anywhere and play. I've been playing on Arena. I stopped buying everything. Like the God, I know this is so awful. I know.
Playing in the first place.
What's that?
Not going anywhere and playing in the first place.
Sometimes I was, yeah. Like that was what I was. I have this horrible. I have the typical gamer where I spend a lot of money on stuff that just sits on a shelf back here and it doesn't actually get used. I'm so bad at that. But my point being is that if nothing else, what COVID-19 did, at least for our family, was it eliminated so much extra spending that we just didn't do anymore. Neither my wife and I were driving to work. We weren't spending any money on gas. We weren't spending money on wear and tear on the car. Like for me, I have to go to the turnpike every single day. That's $75 every couple of weeks that they kept putting on my card. I wasn't spending that money. Like all of this money just magically appeared because my wife and I, thankfully, I am truly thankful that I work for a place of employment that I never got laid off. I never got a pay cut. My work employment never altered in any way, shape, or form during the course of this. My wife took a small pay cut for a short period of time because where she works in the, she's in HR, but in quality now. She works in the housing industry. So they have a bunch of people that like, if you ever one of those ones, like, hey, you ever want to flip a house, we'll help finance you and show you how to do it. That's one of the companies that's the company that she works for. And nobody was buying houses during COVID-19. Imagine that. So they went through some really, really tough times, but beyond that, we genuinely financially were not affected during COVID-19. So that was a huge plus, but then we just got nothing to spend it on. So when Chris said, hey, I'm doing this Sisters of Battle Army, I'm like, hey, I've got my hobby fund that's not been doing anything. That's going in a drawer for Chris.
Hey. Oh, I'm looking forward to starting it, actually. I've got a couple of projects to finish off, but yeah, it's been hard at the minute because I'm trying to balance getting these things, like these passion projects done, with actually trying to bring in money because I haven't really worked properly for like 2 months now.
Yeah.
So I worked a shift last night where I car swapped with Jill. So I picked her up from work. She took Evie back home. I took the car into work. And then I was putting all this Batman stuff on sale. And that took me until like 11 o'clock at night and then drive home. So like a full day parenting and then working at a back shift type thing. And then so doing that too much just makes me overly cranky. So,
yep, I know the feeling.
Especially then, you know, spending like 5 hours a week trying to prep D&D sessions for people who don't even want to play it.
Yeah. It's not that I don't want to play. It's my work got in the way. I apologize for that.
Minis that you know you're never going to get to put on the table because somebody can't keep a group together long enough to get that far in a campaign.
Well, we've gone pretty far.
Let's have a quick look at how close you guys are to leveling up.
Probably fairly close.
1800 XP. maybe 600 XP.
Yeah, we're getting there. We'll finish off this vampire and hopefully level, which are probably the highest level we've gotten characters, Chad, in what, 15 years?
Level 3 at the moment.
Back in the good old days of Barkon.
I don't know, guys. I feel like you've made a series of unfortunate choices, but.
I made a comment about me and Gabe being able to take that vampire, and he was like, nah.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to the TPK that's eventually going to come. All right, so can everyone in case?
So I think you guys are expecting a stand-up fight with a vampire. Well, I don't think that's what you're going to get.
Don't spoil it for us.
No spoilers, man. It's fine. But you just... Like, my monsters act according to the motivation, you know? I role-play the monsters for you, so...
As a good DM should.
Yeah. We'll see what happens, shall we?
We should. All right, so I've got one other thing I did want to mention real quick.
Again, we move on from Star Wars Squadrons, I wanted to say on that, it looks like one of the modes of play is actually, like, team play versus AI as well. I remember for like a fucking a boomer like me where I'm going to be shit at multiplayer just because I'm old and slow now.
Good.
I did that play in Armored Warfare. The co-op versus AI was really good fun in that. So if it looks fun, I'll probably do a lack of focus squadron for people to play in, and we'll sort all of that out on Discord. So I'll add a channel to a Discord this weekend for Star Wars squadrons, and we can start planning for if we're going to do that as a community as well.
Hell yeah. That'll be a ton of fun. So yeah, starting October 2nd, I'll make sure to... So this is that question of, so do I just pre-order it now?
You've got to pre-order it now, because it's going to sell out.
All right, so here's the problem that I have.
That's a lie. It won't sell out because it'll be digital download, but... If you're crusty and old like me, if I give you $40, I would like a physical thing back.
And that's my problem right there. So because what they usually do is for the digital downloads, you get early access. You get to play like a day or two before everyone else does.
On the PC, I'll buy it on Steam because I'm also a hypocrite. You know, who knew? but if I'm getting it on the PlayStation, I want the disc.
So yeah, so the question becomes, is digital download or not to digital download? Because like if I'm still going to pay the same money and it's still going to be on my PS account, I could then, when the PS5 comes down, still bring it over. I don't know. Like, there's a big part of me that's like, do I need the physical media? And I don't know.
There's a part of you that says yes.
There is. So I think I might have talked about this before. Like, for all of my retro games, like, my retro gaming kind of thing has kind of slowed down on its spending. COVID-19 kind of helped it. But during the time of COVID-19, like, right before COVID-19, I got this little, I think I might have mentioned it before, this little Chinese emulator handheld kind of thing. And it has everything. All the old NES games, all the old Atari games, all the old SNES and Genesis, and all the games are there. And I'm like, and I spent like $100 on it. I'm like, do I really need the physical? Like, all I really want to do is I just want to play the game. So do I really need to go out and get any more games?
You're talking handheld versus TV.
Right. And I agree. Like, so for example, like one of my coworkers actually just gave me a box of old NES games. And one of the games in there is one of the ones that I've wanted for a while, which is Contra, which is a fucking amazing game. And I'm looking forward to playing
it. Oh, my God. I played that game so much, I didn't need the cheat code. I could get through it on the 3 lives they give you.
Oh, I think I just found out what we're doing on Saturday. I don't know if it works. I literally got it in a dusty box. I've got to clean it up, you know, take it apart, clean the pins up, try it out and see if it works. Lily's my youngest daughter, that's actually her favorite thing to do. Once a month we have game cleaning day where we get the old isopropyl alcohol and some Q-tips and clean the games up and make sure that they're clean and in pristine condition, so when they go in they work the first time. So we have a bunch of games. There's a lot of duplicates in there. I'm probably just going to shovel off to eBay or something like that, or my local game store, and then maybe trade it in for something. But there are some games in there, like specifically Contra. I'm like, ooh, I can't wait. So that might be what I do tomorrow night as opposed to painting. I'm going to fight the urge. Just because if you're available this weekend, maybe we'll play some Contra this weekend.
You have an N64.
No, not yet. And interestingly enough...
I have one, and I have Rogue Squadron.
Ooh. What I was going to say is, interesting enough, that's where my little Chinese emulator stops. It can do PlayStation games mostly, but the N64, the emulators for N64 do not function on that, and they're really having a ton of trouble emulating N64 games. Rogue Squadron's an amazing game. Ooh, get that and some
Rogue Squadron is a cop out of a game, and I will argue this point with anyone. It all Rogue Squadron ever was is the flight simulator levels from Super Star Wars, Super Empire Strikes Back, and Super Return of Jedi, pulled out, reskinned, and put into a game, and then sold as a full game.
But it was cool.
It was also cool when I already completed Super Star Wars, Super Empire Strikes Back, and Super Return of Jedi.
All right, fair.
And I got a platform game on top of it.
Yeah, you did. That's fair.
Oh, goddamn N64 losers. The only good two games were good on N64. There was GoldenEye.
I was just going to say GoldenEye.
I will give you GoldenEye.
And if you took, as I say, if you took hand job, you're a fucking dick. Just for the
and then, game. Oh, you just banned it. No odd job. And
I did the thing. I didn't even realize I did that. We always just called it hand job.
I mean,
sorry.
That's fun. That's Ed for you.
Yeah. Well, because he was such a dick, like, because he's so low. Like, anyway, this hitbox is all weird. Anyway, that's good. The second better, good game.
WCW versus TNC or whatever it was, one of the wrestling games. NWA. WCW versus NWA, a wrestling game. It was better than a WWF one because the stamina thing was better, in my opinion. Mm. And it was easier to do the moves.
I was
already a boomer. But yeah, 4-player Royal Rumbles and 4-player GoldenEye.
Yes, 4-player GoldenEye.
In GoldenEye 2-player in the campaign mode, where one person walked and the other person aimed.
I never did that one.
If you never did it, you are missing out on hating people.
I'm going to have to give that a shot sometime. All right, so is there anything else you want to cover in this sort of hodgepodge of an episode, good sir?
No, I think it's been good fun. I'm going to say that I apparently double-clicked the start recording for the VOD, so we don't have a YouTube video again. But, you know, just because I'm a producer extraordinaire, that might be extraordinarily bad sometimes, who can say?
The extraordinary was in front. So it's just all audio for this one.
Yeah.
Right, so people didn't get to see me making fun of Ed with like visuals of me making him look like he's doing blowjobs and stuff.
Yeah, I was gonna say you could probably take a wild guess what Chad was doing. So what that means is we need to do something very X-Wing oriented, at least in the next one. So maybe we can get back to some rando squads next episode. Or do you want to try to do some solo stuff?
No, we can probably do a game and I'll try and hit some talking points as well. I want to try and do some point guesses for the new ships as well. If memory serves, are coming at some point, but we can do that around the game as well. But yeah, I wanted to thank all of the patrons who are playing in our Neptune's Pride game for not just bullying me from my really greedy start.
I know you're probably a patron, and I thank you for this, Mr. Mountie. But damn you!
If you want to be in the next one, just make sure you're on the Discord group and say hi over there. A few people have been chatting. I keep meaning to try and reorganize it so it's a little bit clearer for the channels and stuff. It's still a relatively small community, but everyone kind of checks it. And it's one of those like second communities that people go to. So feel free to jump in. It doesn't cost anything. Even if you're not a patron, you still chat and say hi. I sent out the Patreon rewards for everyone. All of the prizes got sent out as well. We are currently up to date on all of that. I'll probably sort out a giveaway again from the next show. We'll start building up for the next batch of shipping. I haven't got any proofs for the redesigned Lack of Focus tokens yet because the place we get them cut is shut because of COVID. So hopefully I can pass them in once that opens up again. But for now, we are still waiting. Any issue? I remembered to send Bruno the swag for his tournament, which got cancelled anyway. So it didn't matter that it was going to arrive late. So that's all good. Sorry, Bruno. I don't know if he listens anymore because I don't know what his deal is. Because he used to listen a lot through his work. He listened to like every X-Wing podcast that people made because he was a crazy person.
Yeah, I remember doing that.
Yeah.
I mean, didn't even listen to my own.
Yeah.
D&D should be back on Monday as well.
Yep, I have no...
Better be.
I have no anticipations of missing this week.
I'm going to wreck them.
You do know where I live.
And I bought something special with some stimulus money, so they don't want me to bring that over.
Well, like I said, we'll have to talk offline to see what your availability is this weekend. I happen to know Ash is not going to be here this weekend because she's got plans to going out and doing stuff. So I have nothing to do on Saturday night if you're interested. I'm sure the kids will be happy to see you too.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
They always are.
I do have one little minor thing. I know that it's completely non-related to X-Wing, but of
in
course,
your pants.
This hasn't been. I crossed a threshold this past week with my MTG Arena YouTube channel. I have officially hit all of the goals that I set out for the channel. I've acquired now over 1,000 subscribers, and I passed YouTube's monetizations. So lo and behold, I am rolling in pocket change, Chris. I'm just rolling around in pocket change with my $4.85 that I've earned in the last couple of days off of my YouTube.
That's channel. Rocking it, man. I mean, you're crushing dice right now, but that's because I don't really make videos anymore.
But
I can't even remember to click record on the videos that people don't even watch, so never mind. Produce ones that people want.
But I went back and I monetized the last year. I figured that was probably the most relevant. Like, there's some stuff in there, like, people are never going to watch again, and I get that. It's odd to me when I look at my analytics. I'm like, oh, wow, that video is, like, 8 months old. I can't believe people are still watching it. It's, like, in my top 10 of videos that people are still watching, so it's interesting to me. But, yeah, I went back and monetized the last year of my stuff. All the stuff that's coming out is being monetized now. I get little commercials in front of my things. It's kind of interesting and fun. So, I've reached the goal. I had my kids. I have to reach up. We're not doing a video one. I'll show you guys off camera. The kids made me a cardboard play button. For those of you who aren't in the know for YouTube, when you hit 100,000 subscribers, you get a silver play button that they send you. What is it? A millions of gold, 10 millions of diamond. And then I think they made a special one for PewDiePie when he hit his 10 million, which was a ruby. So I had the kids jokingly said, oh, well, you hit 1,000. Here's your cardboard play button. So I have a cardboard play button that I can enjoy looking at with my 1,000 subscribers. I don't know.
I can't remember the exact stats, so Ed, but I'm pretty sure it's something along the lines of having 1,000 subscribers and being able to monetize your YouTube channel puts you in the top 4% of YouTubers or something crazy like that. You can laugh at yourself as much as you want, but well done, man.
And because you're now monetized, YouTube actually pushes your videos. My views have gone up, my subs have gone up, and my analytics have all gone up in the last week and a half since that happened. Because they want to get their dollar too.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's been an interesting journey. So now I've had to move the goalposts a little and say, now that I'm going to now I've hit 1,000, now I'm going to go for 10,000 and see if it takes me 3 years to get there.
All you have to do, no, your next goalpost is, can I beat Dice 8? And that's only another 580, and then you're there.
All right. Well, make that as the next goalpost.
Then you have to stop referring to your other channel. You have to start calling on my main channel.
I see.
I do have a question.
Sure.
Have any of your videos surpassed my video for Games Day?
Oh, God. So I knew you were going to ask that. So
that was the most watched video on your channel before.
Yeah, whenever I was doing 40K reports, it absolutely was my main channel, main video. So I will get back to you with that answer here momentarily.
9,100 is his highest watched video so far. Yeah.
So 9,100 is the largest. So the Games Day video from my when we used to do 40K battle reports. We also did YouTube battle reports too.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Why can't I get to this? Your channel. Go to the studio. Go to Gold. The studio. What are you doing? What are you doing?
I don't think it was that high.
What, the Games Day one?
Yeah.
Oh, God. I think it was much higher than that.
Really?
Forever. My highest video is 25K.
Oof. Holy shit. Not even close. Yeah. So current views, 22,678 on the Games Day 2003 Armies on Parade.
22,000?
22,000 views for a 40-minute
video. What the hell?
40-minute video of you walking around Games Day just showing off the armies that were there.
Yeah.
Holy cow, I didn't think it was that high.
Yeah, neither did I. That was April, or it was August 21st of 2013. So
you gotta get one of your magic videos to surpass that.
That's gonna take some time. That's okay. Do you want to know the second highest one at 17,713? That is the top 8 game with Paul Heaver in the 2014 regional tournament, where we watched Paul play Cheating Bastard. Who cheated me out of?
After he beat you.
Yeah, who cheated me out of my top 8 position? Yeah. Son of a bitch.
Knew that was coming.
Oh, wow. Oh, anyway, I'm not gonna drop the name. I'm not gonna justify it by dropping a name.
No, you're just gonna tell them it was a video on your YouTube channel where we can find out who his player is.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
he's been right out of the X-Men community for quite some time. So
it's not doxing if it's publicly available information. Yeah,
because he cheats. And I was new enough to the game that I didn't know it, that he had cheated, until after the fact. I was so pissed. So
just think that maybe you'd have beat Paul Heaver and then moved on to win the entire event.
So I don't think I would have beaten Paul. Although Paul did walk up to my squad, because I was playing Ty Swerve at the time, and Paul was like, I hate your squad, because he knew that if my squad and his squad faced off, I probably had a pretty good advantage. I don't think that I would have beaten Paul. I would have... What he robbed me of was the honor of actually rolling dice with Paul. That's what I think. That's what pisses me off even more. I don't hold any delusions of grandeur that I would have beaten Paul Heaver. Paul Heaver could fight his way out of any situation, especially back those in those days in first edition with the squad that he was running. It was that I would have had the opportunity to actually play him on the table. I've played him since. I have played him on Vassal, but to be able to sit down and roll dice against Paul would have been amazing. It would have been
makes pew pew. That's his trick.
He legitimately does. We've heard it. We saw him do it. So yeah, that's that. Well, that, and I think I was out the dice and the templates. You know, I still have. I ended up having to recoup all of the stuff that I didn't get there. But yeah, I did get the mat. I still have that mat. Anyway, all right. So that's gonna be it. So Chad, always good talking to you, my friend.
Always great to be here, especially whenever you decide you can show up for a show.
I thought we started at 9:30. I was like getting the kids ready for bed. They were all in, in various stages of getting in and out of bathing, trying to get all the kids off and shuffled off to bed. Because if nothing else, the kids have been on summer vacation for 3 months. I know the previous 2 months they were in school, but they've been sleeping in. They get to work get to get up and start school at 10 o'clock in the morning whenever they want. So they've been on summer vacation to the point where they're like mentally, like they're staying up till midnight. And like, there's the dad in me that's like, look, I need to tamp this down. Like, I can't have you guys staying up later than I do. I'm a night owl and I only sleep like 6 or 7 hours a night, but come on. Like, you guys cannot stay up with me at this juncture.
Uncle Chad will come over, bring some beer. We'll have a good time.
That's different on a Saturday, though. You know, I actually have, look, I have alcohol in house here. I only have 3 bottles left, but I can change that if you're going to come over.
Yeah. Tell people, I'm like, I drink any kind of beer just about, except for that one real shitty beer, that Mickey's. I don't drink that. That's a story all on its own.
I totally forgot about that.
My favorite beer. Beer that my friend has at his place, and they ask me, what kind of beer does he have at his place? And I say, free. My favorite kind of beer.
That does lead into the best introduction I have ever given to anybody ever.
God.
Hey, our friend Bob's coming over, and his new girlfriend's coming over. We're going to hang out and watch movies and stuff. Hey, new girlfriend, this is my friend Chad. She's vomiting.
I wasn't the only one to puke there.
You weren't the only one, but my girlfriend at the time wanted to throw you out into the hallway.
In the ghetto.
Which I did not let happen, by the way.
That's good, because I think I might have had alcohol poisoning that night.
You think?
Yeah.
She did make guys clean it up, and like the cleaning, like you guys went out and rented a rug doctor, and like the cleaning solution was making you guys. I'm sorry I'm laughing about this now. I think I may have been laughing about it then, too.
Yeah, that's so, yeah, okay, that's because I'm pretty sure that girl was flirting with me the majority of the time we knew her.
Oh my God, that girl flirted with everybody. The fact that Bob tolerated her is still beyond me. Ugh. Do you remember going over and playing? Oh God, we're going way down and way into TMI. We can have I don't want to have this conversation on recording. I was going to say, but there may have been some incidents whenever we were role-playing that someone, yeah, we'll just leave it at that. Chad knows what I'm talking
That's
about.
That's another time.
That's another time. Chris, always good talking to you, my friend.
Good
he
to
literally
be here.
Zoned out. We definitely went down.
Hey, remember Chris is here?
I do remember Chris. I can see him. I can see him droning out.
Oh, it's fine. I'm all good, man. I'm not just going to go to bed once we're finished and just sweep. It's fine.
Yeah, me too. I'm right there. All right, so that's going to do it for episode 54. We'll try to get back on track with some more X-Wing oriented stuff in the next episode. So guys, I do appreciate you guys tuning in for all of that. We'll see you next time, guys. I really appreciate everyone tuning in. And as always, fly casual. Thank you once again for joining the Lack of Focus X-Wing podcast. Check out Dice Hate Productions for all of the latest episodes, and we'll be looking forward to seeing you again next episode.